Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Thank you, Bhavna, and thank you to our sponsor. I see, Bhavna, that Mark has his hand up. Mark, is that because you'd like to join us in the room? It would be lovely to have you here. It is quite challenging, as you imagine, even though all of our speakers are experts, to be speaking to little black boxes. So thank you, Mark. If there's anyone else who'd like to join us, please put up your hand electronically and you can do so. Melanie, I'm going to introduce you. Melanie Williams-Jeremiah is a Tesla educator, a writer, and a poet. She has a background in psychology and sociology and a training in informed trauma care. Informed care. Melanie has done a lot of work with a range of different people. Her emphasis is on embodying dignity and respect in the exchange, the education exchange. And she has developed a framework that harnesses the embodied and relational aspects of mind and language learning with a signature course called Embodied English. Welcome, Melanie. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Tandy. It's lovely to be here. Thank you very much. And welcome to everybody that's here. Thank you very much. The first thing that I'd like to do today, Tandy, if it's all right with you, is just to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we meet upon today. So I am coming to you from Australia, and I'm in New South Wales, a small town called Walker. And one of the things that we like to do is to acknowledge the traditional owners. So first of all, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we meet upon today, the Anawan and the Dungati people. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and future. Thank you. So when we come here and we meet, one of the things that I'd like to do is really welcome you into this space. And here at the Embodied Embodiment Conference, we're really very, very aware of being here. And I would like to invite you to experience what it means to be welcome, to really come well, and to be received well. And when we think about coming well, it's coming with intention, coming with the feeling, a positive feeling. We know that traditionally when we would greet one another, particularly pre-COVID, in my culture at least, we would shake hands. And I know that traditionally that many, many years ago, that was to actually show positive intent, that we come without weapons in our hands. So when we come today, let's really invite our intention to be here, to come well. It's well that you're here. I'm glad that you're here and that you can be received well, and we can set our intention to learn and to share. Now, it's wonderful to see so many of you here with so many languages, and I have such respect for the processes that you've gone through to get here. One of the things that I'd really like to talk about today is the purpose of language, why we learn language, what is our intent in learning language. And perhaps some of you may like to just pop very quickly, just one or two words into the chat box there. What is language for you? Why do we use language? What does it do for us? I think for me, yes, great. We've got express and connect. We've got to change vision, perspective, paradigms. Fantastic. A cultural bridge. Yes, beautiful. Beautiful. So when we look at vision, we look at expression, we look at connection, we look at bridges, paradigms, we're really looking at expressing, accessing, and expressing who we are. And not just who we are as individuals, but who we are in relationship. And yes, absolutely. Sometimes the language of words gets in the way. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all of those. So we think about expression. And what I would invite you to consider is, in your first language, are you able to access and express all of who you are? The identity that you hold, the relationships that you hold. I would suggest that for most of us, it's just natural. It's very, very natural that we are able to express who we are in our entirety. So, and yet then when we go to learn a second or a third or a fourth language, are we actually able to access and express who we are in the same way? It's just something to consider. And for many of you that do speak three or four languages, I would invite you to share. Are you the same person in each of those languages? Are you the same person in your relationships when you're expressing yourself in each of those languages? So I'd like to talk a little bit today about the interpersonal and intrapersonal experience of communication. And as Tandy mentioned, I've got a background in psychology and sociology, and I've done a lot of work around trauma-informed care. And I really, really value the work of Dr. Dan Siegel on interpersonal neurobiology. And I don't know if you were able to see his session a few days ago about the nine domains of integration. But it was so, so very special. And I've been very influenced by Dr. Dan Siegel and his work. Okay, we've just got some responses coming through here. So Mark is telling us that he feels more extroverted in Spanish, which is his second language. And that's very interesting. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So if we look at who we are and how we express ourselves, excuse me. One of the things that I'm sure we're all aware, Dr. Dan Siegel has mentioned, is about this definition of mind. And he dared to define the mind. And using an approach of taking the wisdom and the knowings from so many disciplines, from psychology, anthropology, linguistics, sociology, math, quantum physics, neuroscience, biology, complex systems, psychiatry, from all of those disciplines. And he proposed the following definition, that the mind is an emergent and self-regulating process that is both embodied and relational, that regulates information and energy flow. We'll just read that again, and I'm sure many of you are already familiar with this definition of mind, that the mind is an emergent and self-regulating process that is both embodied and relational, and that regulates information and energy flow. So he also speaks about the mind as being composed of the brain, the body, and our relationships. So if we can look at it in this regard, pardon me, if we look at it in this regard, we could have the brain, the body, and relationships. You can put those on whichever peak that you would choose to put those three aspects of mind. And that the body affects our neurological processing and our relationships. Our relationships affect the way our neurobiology works. So we have all of these things working together beautifully. And in each of these combinations, they can affect the way that we're interacting, the way that we're expressing ourselves, the way that we're relating to one another. So what does this mean for language learning? I'm sure that we can all appreciate that we all learn our first language in an incredibly embodied and relational way. So you think, how did you learn your first language? We didn't learn it at school. We learned our first language in relationship. We think every single human being who has ever been born had their first experience of language in the womb of their mother. So the first sounds, the first experience of that information and energy flow coming through the amniotic fluid in our mother's womb. So we have that. And then when we come out of the womb, and we know that every human being needs milk to live, to survive. And how do we receive it? We either receive it from our mother's breast or from a bottle. And it's so embodied, so relational. We've got our eye connection, got all of these relational and embodied aspects going on. And for those of us that are fortunate, we're also exposed to language during that process. So our first language, our first words, our first relationship connections, and the language that arises from that is so embodied and so relational. So all of our experiences in our developmental progression has a very natural soundtrack of language. And my question for you is, do we have that same natural soundtrack of language in our target language? And as I mentioned before, how do we learn our language? How do we learn the vocabulary and the concept and the nuances of relationship within family? Again, it's not in a classroom, it's in the family. How do we learn about where we fit? How do we learn about the concepts of fairness and equity? We don't learn that in a classroom. It may be developed in a classroom, but we actually learn it in our bodies. We learn it in relationship. We know in our gut if something's not fair, yeah? So what I'd like to invite you to explore now is the power of identity, the power of who you are. Because we've been talking about accessing and expressing and connecting. So I really invite all of you just to sit for a moment in who you are. And I acknowledge and I honour that for some of us, when we start looking at formative experiences, some of those may have been difficult experiences. So I really invite you to honour that. And just to ground yourself, if there's anything that's uncomfortable for you, to really ground yourself and perhaps try some bilateral stimulation, just really exploring self-care. But first of all, with our feet firmly on the ground, or if that's not possible for you, whatever part of your body is able to really connect to the earth, just to send your attention there, to really ground yourself there, and then feel that energy going up to what's above, just like a tree, your roots going downward, that you can bear fruit upwards. And as you're grounded, start to explore what makes you you. And please feel free to put anything in the chat that you might like to put there. We know we can think about nationality is one of the things that makes me me. So when we're talking about identity, we often use the term I am, in English at least, I am. So I am Australian, and that's part of my identity. And while there's some things that make me hang my head in shame, generally I'm very proud to be an Australian. So the fact that I was born in this country has influenced my identity. Our cultural, our ethnic group, they're all aspects of who we are, our family of origin. So just think for a moment, you may want to write something down, you may want to enter it in the chat, or you may just want to feel it. Just feel it in your body. Who are you? My husband and I have a cross-cultural and cross-linguistic marriage, which is beautiful in so, so many ways. But it's very interesting when it starts to become really apparent. Sometimes we do voice as an Australian I, as an Australian I feel, or as an Australian I see things like this. And likewise, my husband at many times would say, well, because I'm Honduran, because I'm a Honduran, I see things this way. So we've got a lot of background why identity even comes from behind, from our past. Okay, fantastic. So we've got people starting to share who they are. So a professional engineer, a traveler. A traveler can be many, many things. Be interesting to know, Mark, if you mean actually physically traveling, or if you mean that in a broader sense as well. So, Tandy, thank you. We have South African with ancestral links across the planet, beautifully said. Okay, my son is half Mexican. A woman, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's another one of the I ams. I am a woman. I am a woman. Okay. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Mark. So both. So the geographical journeying and the more existential journeying also. Thank you. So who we are forms how we relate, how we think about ourselves, and the languages that we use. I was listening just this week, something very interesting about an Aboriginal group up in near Cape Town. Cape York. At the top of Australia. And it was said that in that language group, when somebody says, how are you? The answer will be something along the lines of, going farther north-northeast, or further south-south, southeast. So from this cultural and ethnic and language group comes an identity that is very, very entwined with locality, geographic locality, and to even express how you are is embedded in the country that you're journeying to, the direction that you're journeying to. I thought that was a very beautiful thing. Okay, so we have a South African Indian Kiwi. Thank you. I am energy. I am secular. Okay, beautiful. Yes, I am energy. So when we're looking at who are we, and who are we in our social place, our social space? Who are we relationally? Our experience of education, how we make friends, our romantic relationships, all of these things, all of these aspects of self are also very formative of our language. So in our native language, we know well how to express that, and it comes from an embodied place, and it comes from a relational place. Are we a leader? Are we a follower? Who are we in a team? And how do we learn what it means to be a team player? Again, we don't learn that in a sports exam. We learn that playing. We learn it in the street. We learn it on the field. We learn it kicking a ball. We learn it wanting to be picked for the team and maybe not, or being the one picking people for our team. We learn about it from within. So our language is so closely entwined in our identity and our expression of it. Someone mentioned also about expressing paradigms and connections and crossing cultural bridges. We can talk about beliefs and dreams and aspirations. And do we have the language to express that? That which comes from deep within, that which comes from our inner knowings, that which comes from our heart, our mind, our soul. And like Tandy was speaking before about ancestral links, do we bring all of that to who we are? And I suggest to you that for most of us in our first language or first languages, that that's very natural, that we can access that without any difficulty. So what I'd like you to consider for a moment is, where does the power of who you are sit in your body? So, Mark, if you're a professional engineer, you're a traveler, does the professional sit in the same place as the traveler? Where does the power of it's in your head, okay, it's in your head. Where does the power of being a woman, Julia, where does the power of being a woman sit in your body? So we know again from interpersonal neurobiology and interoception, we can pull from within our body knowings that are yet to be known. We can access all of that. So where does the power of who you are, your womb, it sits in your womb, that's beautiful. It sits in your womb. Okay, so once you really identify, you really start to feel the power in your body of who you are. Now I would like you to consider, how do you express who you are in your native language? You feel the power of it. You feel the power of your identity. How do you express that identity? Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Mark's telling us that his bilingual self is in his heart and in his throat. That's beautiful. So your professional is in your head and your bilingual is in your heart and throat. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, your wife is from Mexico. Mucho gusto. How do you express who you are? You know where the power is. So if you know the power of being a woman sits in your womb and you're speaking in your native tongue, how do you express that? Just think for a moment. How do you express who you are in your native language? I imagine it's something that's very natural. It's inherent. It's intrinsic. It's integrated through all of who we are, through my being, through my eyes. Beautiful. Absolutely. With passion. Absolutely. Fantastic. Yes. Yes. So again, what you're expressing to me, that it's embodied. You're expressing who you are in a very embodied and relational way. So again, with our eyes, when we're making that eye connection, we've got our mirror neurons, we're connecting, we're getting a felt sense of relationship. We're expressing who we are. And we can do that really quite naturally. Okay, Julia, my voice changes depending on which language I speak. Okay, that's really beautiful. Tandy, I don't know, is it possible, and only if people are comfortable, is it possible for Julia to actually share that with us so that we can share in that experience with you?
To have her speak, that would be marvelous. Yes, is that what you're asking?
Yes, if she's open to that.
So, Julia Dibi, if you are open to that, I believe that Bhavna should be able to unmute you and you could perhaps share with us some words in the different languages you speak. I'll let Melanie direct that. Bhavna, can you assist us with that?
I can't find her. If you can find on the list.
Indeed. Done.
Uh-huh.
I'm unmute.
Oh, thank you very much. Welcome, Julia.
Well, thanks.
Right. Okay. So what languages do you speak?
I speak Italian, mm-hmm. is my mother tongue, mm-hmm. English and Spanish.
Okay, fantastic. So could you share with us a little bit of who you are in each of those languages?
Okay. If I'm saying... Sono Giulia, sono italiana, vivo sull'isola di Vancouver e sono sposata con un uomo messicano. In English it would be I'm Italian, I'm actually living on Vancouver Island since 9 months and I'm married with a Mexican man, so it's why I speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. In Spanish, it would be Soy Giulia, vivo nella isla di Vancouver da nueve meses e sono casata con un hombre mexicano che vive acá también desde mucho tiempo. Entonces,
fantastic. Thank you very much. So, Julia, how was that for you in each of those languages? Because, yeah, yes, you do sound different. You do express yourself differently. Who do you feel, in which of those languages do you feel most access to who you really are and the power of who you are?
In this moment, like, I feel more power in English because I'm just living here and I don't speak Italian with anyone. So mm-hmm. it's so weird that I don't express my emotion in Italian, like just express few. And sometimes I get like, I don't recognize myself mm-hmm. when I speak Italian with people because I'm like, oh, it's not me. But then when I like when I'm like anger or like frustration or maybe upset or whatever, and I need to speak in that moment, I need to speak my language.
Your mother tongue is what you revert to if you need to express very strong emotion?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Now, Tandy's just commented here that she hears more delight and joy in your voice in Spanish.
Yeah, it's also because it's my, like, love language.
Yes. I so understand.
So, it's all... And I just actually learned Spanish so well because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. It was a motivation. It was like so deep in it. So yeah, I think it makes sense.
Absolutely. Look, thank you so much for sharing that. Is there anyone else who would like the opportunity to share that exercise as well? Mark, you say you speak almost pure Spanish at home.
Yes, so usually if we're having an argument or having a discussion or picking out what we're going to eat, almost all of that is done in Spanish. My 24-year-old son is fairly bilingual, so he's fairly well adapted to that. He resisted that a lot as a child and would often reply to his mother in English, even though she was questioning him in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned earlier, that cuando hablo español me siento más extrovertido. O sea, que la gente que me conocen me dicen que eres más extrovertido en español que en inglés, porque se nota el orgullo y la felicidad de hablar un idioma romántico.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it's a different tone and a different space. Because for me, English is my work language, even though it's my native language. And mm-hmm. So most business in engineering and water and dams and everything is done in English. Although I have had the great pleasure of doing overseas lectures and presentations in Spanish about my work. So that gets really exciting when I can combine the both. So I was almost thinking of the word matrix at one point when you were talking about the sort of the synthesis of having both languages also can create its own characteristic. And it gets especially tricky when you're doing simultaneous translation, because your brain becomes like a set player that's like rapidly flipping back and forth between the two languages in order to maintain the fluidity of the conversation. And that gets actually very exhausting. Most professional interpreters do tag team, because mm-hmm. it could really wear you out if you were like translating this whole conference. And so it's interesting how each of those elements is different in terms of being the translator, being the spouse, and then being the presenter and then the everyday English. They're all kind of, it's almost like a form of schizophrenia.
So like a schism between those different parts of your identity, the different right. roles that you play. Okay, so you've mentioned before, Mark, that your professionalism sits in your head,
mm-hmm.
and that your bilingual self is in your heart and your throat. And you mentioned that your arguments are generally in Spanish. Now, I'm just interested to explore there. If you are presenting at a conference, for example, in Spanish, and you find yourself to be more extroverted, so the relational side of things is not difficult for you in Spanish, are you able to access all of the technical knowledge and your sense of professional self in Spanish?
Yes, I my preferred method of delivery is extemporaneous. I try and, I mean, I may have a PowerPoint with some key ideas on it, but I don't like to read a speech, even though it's my second language. I'd much rather give a talk. And so I do feel that, but at the same time, I'm so in love with the culture, the poetry and everything else, that the after conference stuff is just wonderful, because I can adopt the local cultural norms. And I mean, I know the rules in Latin American business are different than the rules in American business. I mean, you never lead with the pitch. You lead with, how's the family? How's your daughter doing? You know, what's going on in their school? How's your wife? You know, it's much more of a social interaction, and you typically don't get into the business either until you're back in a conference room, or maybe well into a meeting if it's a meal type meeting. But there's a lot of socialization that goes on before you cut to the business chase.
Thank you. We might leave it there. Thank you so much. And it's there's so many cultural elements here as well. So one of the things I'd like you to consider is, who would you be if you couldn't access and express all of those aspects of who you are? So you know they're there. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. We've identified who we are. And I'm not speaking specifically to you now, Mark. We'll move on from that. So just conscious of time. But to everybody listening. So just ask yourself, just go in yourself. Who would you be if you couldn't access and express all of those aspects of yourself? And so many of my students who have near mastery in English still voice to me that they do not feel themselves, that they cannot access the entirety of who they are in English or in their second or third language. So let's just consider for a moment, who are we, and who do we feel, who do we become if we cannot access that professional, that passionate, that emotional, that poetic, that nuanced intellect of who we are? Who do we become, and how is that reflected in our body and in our relationships? So we've looked a little bit at who we are, at our identity. So consider for a moment, which aspects of your identity can you currently access and express in English? So we've had people say that I am a woman, or I am a man, I am a professional, I am a mother, I am a sister, I am a wife, I am a child, I am an educator, I am a writer, I am a poet, I am a leader. Which aspects of who you are can you currently access and express in English? And so we've got Mark saying that he can access about 95% in Spanish. So his identity would be totally different if monolingual. Yeah, thank you. And we think about the relational component of language. We think about connection, forming and maintaining relationships and intimacy, leading in a team. I encourage you to think about We know the saying, you talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? So we may be able to talk, we may be able to speak in English or whichever target language we're trying to master, but can we walk the walk? Is it embodied within us? And that's what we really want to explore here. One of the exercises that I often do is using an emotion wheel. So looking at, and we go out from your basic happy, sad, angry, fearful, and we go out into more and more and more nuanced emotions. And then just to stand, again, to ground ourselves, to feel into ourselves, and then to actually walk. So we won't go into any of the really deeper emotions right now, but if I was to say, I invite you to, you're welcome to do or not to do, but I invite you to walk what it means to be happy, to feel in your body happiness. Where is it? Where is, like we've already heard, professional can sit in your head, being a woman sits in your womb. Where in your body do you feel happiness? And when you walk it, what is happy? How do we walk happy? And then once we've explored that, you can try it in your first language and then try it in other languages as well. Do you walk the same? Do you hold yourself the same? Does that word have the same embodied aspect for you in another language? So, for example, feliz. Does that feel the same? Do I walk the same in Spanish as in English? Am I the same person? We could do it with happiness. We could do it with joy. Do we know how to walk differently? Do we hold ourselves differently with those different languages? Yep, use your hands much more. So we can really learn to feel in our bodies and express in our bodies different emotions, different parts of our identity. And I encourage you to explore what is the gap between who you are in your native language and who you can express yourself to be in English.
Melanie, we have another guest, Iwana. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce your name, who would like to participate. May I go ahead and unmute her?
Please do, yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, welcome.
Great. I am from Poland, and my first 20 years of my life, I grew up in Poland and spoke in Polish. When I came to the United States, English became my second language and my new identity. So it is the language of my professional image and career. I speak with my family daily overseas, and I speak in Polish. I think I express myself emotionally and more personally in Polish much more eloquently than I would in English. And English is the language that I prefer in my career, which is interesting because I do travel overseas, and when I attend medical conferences, I would speak in my own language, but it's easier to express myself professionally in English because I gained that education here in the United States. But when I speak with my friends and family, I am much more expressive in Polish. I speak faster, I have much more much bigger vocabulary, and obviously it's easier for me. But there are gestures and emotions that are so important to for me to express in Polish, and they are not even translatable in English. It's quite challenging, and that happens often when we use sense of humor. That is almost impossible to translate from one language to another. It's quite
interesting. Definitely. And it's interesting that you've expressed there that who you are, again, as a professional, that you actually feel much more comfortable in English professionally, whereas the emotional, the passionate, the interpersonal relationships is much more in your native tongue. And I wonder if that actually creates a separation for you, or if that's actually really, really quite a comfortable.
Yes, and it's a comfortable separation. In fact, when I'm trying to express myself emotionally with my relatives here in English, it becomes somewhat a language barrier. I do have ability to express myself emotionally, but because of the context of the conversation or actually the way the message is being received, I don't know 100% if this is going to be received the way I am sharing that information. And that happens often with my husband. I often say, how come after 20 years of marriage, we have such a language barrier? I can communicate with him on a professional level without a problem. But then when we start talking about feelings and emotions, we are lost in translation. I don't understand why that happens. And it's happening quite often, actually.
That's very interesting. And thank you for sharing. It would be interesting to me if you were to explore where in your body different words fit. And you're welcome to do this now or perhaps later at home as well. But where in your body does your professional life sit?
My mind.
Entity, it's in your mind. And again, if we look at mind, are we talking brain? Are we talking head? Or are we talking brain, body, relationship? And what I really try to do in the work that I do and the framework that I've established is that we embed in our body again. We try to get into our bodies and into our relationships.
That is really interesting. And one more thing I wanted to bring to everyone's attention. If your first language is not English, you're always going to translate in your mind your thoughts from that first language into English. You're expressing yourself in English, but you're thinking in that very first language you were ever raised. I don't know if that happens with other languages and others, but that happens definitely with me. So there's that pause. I need to sometimes think how I'm going to express myself in English, because the way I'm thinking, it's a different language. So I need to translate it constantly. It's a constant translation that is going on between those two languages. But that doesn't happen in professional language, because the professional language and the skills I was able to obtain here. So I did not have that knowledge and that vocabulary previously, when I was speaking and learning and getting my education first in Polish. So it's really interesting. It became my second nature and my first language when it comes to my profession.
Apologies for interrupting. Melanie, I just needed to let you know that we have about 5 minutes left. There is somebody who's raised their hand to participate, but I also want to know how you want to be able to close the session, because we have 5 minutes before I will need to close for us.
Okay. If we can very, very briefly introduce the other person, I'm happy for that, and then we'll move on so that you can close. Yes.
Letting Agni in. Agni, you are unmuted.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Yes, we can. Hello, my name is Martina. I come from the Czech Republic. I'm going to try to speak real fast because I know that we only have like 4 minutes left. And I just wanted to say my first language, because I come from the Czech Republic, is language. And can you hear me well?
Not well, no.
Yeah, my first language is Czech. I study in English, basically. I write articles in English, and I think in English a lot, but I study anthropology, and my field was and is in Lima, Peru. So I also speak Spanish. And when I asked myself how I walk happy, I could feel that in English it was a lot in my head. In Spanish, in Czech, it was in my head and in my throat a little bit and in my chest a little bit. And then when I said that in Spanish, I just included my body, basically. I just wanted to say that I am an example of a person who, even though my first language is Czech, I feel much more through Spanish. I just, they use a lot of diminutives in Peru, and it's just the way they express themselves. It just take you with it. They just take you with you. So it's so emotional, and I love Spanish, and the way I can actually reveals to myself my identity is something very unique. I really appreciate it, and without my Spanish, I would be someone completely else. So I just want to say that even though a Czech is my native language, I actually don't feel through Czech the way I feel through Spanish.
That's very interesting, and thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that. So really, what I'm hearing there is the relational aspect of language for you and how you are received. And I think there is so much in how we are received, how we feel that we can express ourselves. I know that there's conversations that I had when I was very first in Honduras and my Spanish was very, very poor. There were people that I could speak to for hours at great length on many and varied topics. And there were other people that I could not hold the most basic of conversations with. And so much of that, I believe, is how we feel we are received. There being the space for developmental errors. There being the space to share, to connect, to express who we are. And so much of the work that I do is about accessing and expressing who we are, not only in our native language, but really connecting our minds, our body, our brain, our relationship in language to express who we are. So I know that we need to finish up here very soon. So just very, very briefly mention that some of the tools that I use are to gauge the leaks of power, the leakage of who you are in your identity in different languages, so that you can access your confidence, your passion, and your power to amplify your influence by embodying English in the same way that your native language is embodied, and to express English relationally in the same way that relationships have forged your experience of your native language. So I'll pass it back to you there, Thandi, but thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Melanie. Sorry we don't have hours to chat here. There's lots of conversations to be had here. Just a reminder to everyone that you can actually join in the coffee breaks. Bhavna has put up the link on the chat group where you can join in within a room with other participants and all get to see each other and have a free flow conversation. And embody whichever language you choose to speak in. You can also join the Facebook group for a further conversation and to follow the thread through the leadership and business channel. And we've put up some links to Melanie's books. Melanie is a poet and a writer and a blog writer. There's a link to her blog and to her books. And then I don't know about you guys, but I've already missed quite a few things that I really want to see. And there are talks that I would like to rewatch. And so there is an invitation to upgrade your account to purchase either this channel so that you could own this conversation and listen to it in your own time and have the opportunity to digest the information and learning at your own pace. As an educator myself, I think being able to learn in your own pace and at your own time is incredibly powerful. Also, by purchasing the and upgrading your account, you are giving a big thank you to all the people who've made this incredible conference possible. And in addition, you make sure that people who can't afford to buy the conference can still access it through this free process. Melanie, I did that quickly, we've got about 3 minutes. And I would like to invite you to share your top tips for identifying the leakages, but more importantly, for embodying the language.
Fantastic. So first of all, my top tip for embodiment generally is to live into and live up to all of our being. So the presence and the potential that exists in our being, and by in our being, I also mean between us. So to really live into and to live up to our being. So in terms of embodying language, it's really coming back to who we are, and creating opportunities for like a language incubator to have that natural soundtrack. And that's something that I offer through my training, through my courses, is to really start to incubate language around us. And also with mastery in motion, because it is so much about relationship and identity and going beyond who we are to the impact we can have on the planet. My course is around getting people engaged in making a difference, and that is expressed in their identity and language.
That is really beautiful, Melanie. As you said that, I felt a landing in my feet of being present, and also a lengthening up into the potential of entering into the world. Thank you so much. That was a very tender and very generous presentation. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who've joined us. We look forward to seeing you on more of the talks. And remember to take care and stay in your body and living up to your potential. Thank you again.